I think it's about 35 or 36 years ago. I remember in the prayer meeting in Dungannon as a very young man, of course. I remember one of the men praying, and while there are many things that he may have prayed I've forgotten about, but I never forgotten this. And he was praying earnestly, and he said, "Lord, we only pass this way once. And as we do that, we put down markers for good or for ill. And inevitably, others will follow those markers." I've never forgotten that, and it's something that I've often thought of as a minister and as a father and as a citizen here in the country. But remembering what that man prayed earnestly all those years ago, I want to just mention something that happened just the day before Her Majesty the Queen passed away. I was informed, or come to know, the information wasn't coming directly to me alone, but I was there and I heard a man that I'd known years ago, he had passed away. I didn't know he had passed away some time ago. If I had known, irrespective of how it was with him, I would have tried to go to the funeral service. But that man in his lifetime put down markers. And he was, while he did profess salvation, he was one of the most crooked people I've ever met. And everywhere he went, he had the reputation of one that you didn't want to get too close to because he was a hypercritic of almost everyone. And I happened to ask, he was just a couple of years older than me, by the way. And I asked, I said, how was it with him? I hadn't seen him for a good number of years. And the person said, he died with very few friends and a terrible reputation. Brothers and sisters, it's so different whenever Queen Elizabeth passed away. She was one who certainly put down markers. And many of those markers, she was not perfect, and please don't feel that I'm saying she was. She was not perfect, but many of the markers that she put down, the citizens of the realm could safely follow those markers. I'm sure she had every opportunity to be crooked and twisted, but she never displayed it. In all of the situations that she was in, she was one who in the United Kingdom today and far beyond that, people are remembering her. They're actually thinking of her as a personal friend. Such was her warmth and her humility and her easygoing nature, it seems. And therefore, while that person I mentioned to you, it didn't have to be that way, but that is the legacy that was left. Our Queen's legacy is a good one. She left a sound legacy. She made her mark on the world for good. We've mentioned her dignity and her dedication to duty, her faithfulness to this nation, and very importantly, her respect for the Word of God. And what appeared to be the fact that she was never ashamed to talk about it. Folks, she was a good example. But change has come now. And we want to look at change this morning. We've given a title to the message, The Legacy of a Faithful Monarch. If you read through the Bible, there are some monarchs who left a great legacy. And King David was one of them. Again, he wasn't a perfect man. But these verses in this chapter bring us right in to his 11th hour. And there is in these verses, a reflection upon what he proved. And not only what he proved, but what he wished for those who were coming after him.
Now death was staring him in the face. He knew that. But in the words themselves, there is a legacy. Because as I mentioned, it refers to what he had proved and what he wished for those who were coming after him. I want you to notice, first of all, as we consider the legacy of a faithful monarch, and that is what David was. We will be mentioning Her Majesty the Queen several times during the message as well. First of all, notice, please, that there was work yet to be done. Work yet to be done. Look at verse 3. He says to his king, to his son Solomon here, to keep the charge of the Lord God and to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. David accomplished much in his lifetime. There were times when he was under tremendous pressure and he displayed exceptional grace and a very gracious spirit. And he was a man who many, many times was marked with great humility. And I've no doubt that those who were close to him and respected him as they should have done, that they would have liked him to continue on. But his race was run. And his time was almost up. And he knew that. And he was reflecting here upon all that the Lord had achieved through him as a mere instrument. Very solemn words. Last words are important. And I know that David's last words here were very important to him. While he reflected upon all that the Lord had allowed him to be instrumental in doing, he knew that the work had to continue. It had to continue. His heart's desire, obviously, from the verse we just read, was that Solomon, who would now be on the throne, would be an instrument for good. I suppose in some ways Solomon was at the crossroads. Not many can handle fame and riches. Not many. I don't have any problem with either. Dealing with either, I should say. But Solomon was listening well, folks. As David reminded him here, I go the way of all the earth. I go the way of all the earth. In the very next verse, keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Our own queen, as I've already intimated, and many other people, whether they like it or not, of course, no matter who you are in leadership, whether you're someone leading an organization or someone leading a country, there will be people who resent you for no good reason. There's nothing you can do about that. In fact, it's something which is part and parcel of being in leadership anywhere. But while there were those that resented her and they have made very bitter, disrespectful marks in recent days, shame on them for that. And while that may be the case, what a huge amount of good she did. What a reputation she had. As she went around the world representing us. And a reputation perhaps that in some ways with one individual monarch is unequaled, which is gone. She's gone. And we would, of course, she was 96, we're all hoping, oh, hope she lives to 100. Her mother was more than 100, and I hope she lives. She's gone. But folks, she was aware that the work had to go on for the nation. And King Charles III is now at the helm. I want to read a verse or two that I mentioned in that little tribute that I know some of you did see on Facebook. I just want to read it. And it reminds us all of how we can play our part in all of this. It says there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour. That is plain enough, brethren and sisters, for us all. Prayers and supplications to be made for kings and for all who are in authority. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. Fear God and honour the king. Doesn't ask us if he's got a nice winning personality. Honour him. It says honour the king. Fear God and honour the king. And as you look through the Bible, there have been numerous occasions when a man or a woman's work was done, as far as they were concerned. But the work was to go on. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, here's the word from the Lord to Joshua. Only as Joshua now takes over, he's promised here strength for service. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. How similar these words are to the words that David was now speaking to Solomon. Did you notice there that he says to him in verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. He wasn't to be a snowflake, which seems to be so popular these days. He was to show himself to be a man, or it means to be manly. And now that Solomon was coming to the throne, well, he would have to be an example. An example, just as Joshua that we read about there would have to be an example to the people. He wasn't feeling courageous. Church historians tell us he was petrified. And in fact, he fell on his face in the dust when he was told that he was to step into the shoes of the great Moses. But he was to be an example. And again, he's to play the man. Be thou very courageous. He was to be an example, but he was to embrace the truth. Did you see there in verse 3 where it says, to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his judgments, commandments, judgments and testimonies. That's all a reference to the teaching of the word. He was to embrace that all. And in his living as an example, this is something that he was to display. It says there that he was to walk. So he was to be an example. He was to embrace the truth of God and hold on to it. But if you look at the word to walk there, it literally means, refers to enduring walk. He was to keep on walking. And folks, we sang earlier on, for the first time in our lives, in my life anyway, maybe some of you sang it somewhere else. We sang, God save our King. And folks, let's make it the prayer of our heart that God would save the King. What a difference it could make. When someone is on the throne and ruling that is an example, embraces all of the teaching of God's word, and their walk is one that is continually steadfast. We have a part to play. I've mentioned that in our praying for those that are in authority. Over in here in it's, if you turn please to 1 Samuel just for a moment or two, please. Here is a time in David's life when he displayed his great integrity. It says in verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 18, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. The word wisely there simply means to walk circumspectly. It does not tie in with what he told Solomon to walk, to endure, to walk and endure that walk, to have an enduring walk, to continue walking, to walk circumspectly. And that simply means accurately. Accurately according to the word. It says here, behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Even back at that time, David's integrity was shining through. Chapter 14, if you would go to it, please, and verse, chapter 14, 1 Samuel. You'll see here that in this chapter, Saul was blundering, and he was giving the people very bad direction. And he had said that the people were not, to, in verse 26, were not to put their honey to their mouths. See where it says, and when people come into the wood, behold, the honey there, in the original Hebrew language, it means a stream of honey. There's plenty there, an unusual situation. And Saul wouldn't let the people have any, but when his father charged the people with the oath, wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand in his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. And then he talks about what could have been. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they had found. He realized that they needed strengthening. It's very notable that Saul had a strange ability to turn what could have been a good situation into a very distressful one. And folks, as we pray, we want to pray for our sovereign, as the work is yet to be done, that he will be able to do that, knowing the help of the Lord. And to plough a straight furrow for the nation. You see there where Jonathan says, my father hath troubled the land. Saul was the sovereign at that time. What an awful thought. Right across this world today, there are world leaders, and yes, they trouble the land. Queen Elizabeth never did that. And we're trusting that our new king will never do that either. But you and I have this responsibility to pray for him. So as David here was talking to Solomon, and he was speaking of from experience of what he knew of the Lord's help and what he wished for the future, his words really were his greatest legacy. Here, he spoke of the work yet to be done, but he also, here we have the way outlined. Please look at what he says in verse 4, and I drew your attention to this earlier. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Now, it's very notable here that David was thinking of posterity, thinking of the young people coming up. I think of them every day because I've got some of them myself, but I think of them every day anyway. And folks, how important it was in the eyes of David that things would be right for the young people. If thy children take heed to their way. How do they take heed to their way? Well, if you look there in what Deuteronomy 11, I just read it for you. And the Lord here is referring to his word, to the word of God. And remember, please, what he said there to Solomon, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way. And then over to Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, concerning the word of God. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children. Ye shall teach them your children. As far as David was concerned, it was a primary responsibility for Solomon to see to it that the posterity, the young people coming afterwards, that they would honor the Lord in obeying his word, that the Lord may continue his word in providing that which they needed, because that is what the verse is about. Someone that will not fail you, a man on the throne of Israel. And again, our late queen, she was not ashamed to make known her love for the Bible. Even many, many years ago, she had a love for the Bible. I know that there were times when she was visited at Buckingham Palace by men who were very well, very much used of the Lord in those days. And she actually invited them to come and preach at Windsor to the family. One of the people that she met and was very acquainted with and very fond of was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a very much used preacher in the mainland. You see, she knew that holding on to the word and obeying the word was the secret of not only reading well, but for those who came after. And still is. That's why we want to teach the young. What a responsibility we have. There are those who would take it all away from us and tell us to let them think in a humanistic way. Let them make up their own mind what they are, who they are, what they can do. But we have the word and we have to continue to encourage them to take heed to their way. He was thinking here of posterity, but he was also thinking very about sincerity. For he says, walk before me in truth with all their heart. Young people, there will be many temptations to turn aside. Many. To walk before them with all their heart in sincerity. David knew that he'd made mistakes in his life and blundered at times. He didn't want it to happen to the young people, the people coming after. Thought of posterity, sincerity. But then there is the promise that there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. The way forward was honoring the word, and it still is. And you and I, in our own prayers, folks, I know that it goes without saying, many will be praying this way. We want to pray every day for our own sovereign, for the royal family, that we would hear of a great adherence to the word of God, and that that would be reflected in the state of the nation and how things are done. As I said, we pray every day, God save the king. That there was the work yet to be done, there was the way outlined, but there was the wisdom exhorted, and I'm moving on swiftly here. Please look at verse 6. It says, do therefore according to thy wisdom. Now, Solomon, as you know, humanly speaking, was the wisest man that ever lived. God gave him that wisdom. He asked for it. When God had asked him what he wanted, he didn't say what probably a lot of people would say, I'll have this, this, and the other. He wanted wisdom and understanding. And God gave it to him in abundant measure. And he was going to be able to use that wisdom. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his forehead go down to the grave in peace. What's he talking about? Well, if you look at the verses, and we won't take time now to read them all again, but if you look at from there on down to the end of verse 9, you will see that the wisdom exhorted was he had to deal with that which was wrong. Solomon would have to deal with that which was wrong. We know that in the United Kingdom, sometimes these things are, they're different now with the sovereign and out of their hand. Laws that are passed that are wrong. And things that are wrong that should be severely dealt with. But there's still the possibility of influence. And that's a very important thing to pray for as well. That wisdom exhorted here was that Solomon, that he would deal with wrong, but that also that he would recognize that which is good. I'll just read verse 7. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother, to recognize that which is good. We live in a day when wrong is called right and right is called wrong, when more and more the truth of what God teaches us to do is being marginalized and sometimes rubbished all together. Wasn't this a lovely thing to live in a land where truth and righteousness reigned and where that which was wrong was dealt with? Remember, those who are in power are to be a terror to evil. A terror to that evil. Not to good works. We're supposed to encourage good works and pray to that end as well, that the wisdom exhorted here, pray for a king that he would have wisdom. That wisdom that comes from the Lord. Finally, I want to mention here, and pray for that wisdom that it would be seen, and it would be there would be that better day which our queen wished for. I mentioned that. We need it domestically and socially. We need it right spiritually, right across the land. But there is finally here the willingness rewarded. Look at verse 12 of the passage we read this morning. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. His kingdom was established greatly. These words were drawn from what he, that is David, had experienced and what he had proved. They were, in a sense, his legacy. And if I could sum them all up and express them in layman terms, what David here is saying to Solomon is, trust in God and keep your powder dry. Trust in God and keep your powder dry. God is sovereign in the world, but he's seeking men and women to live for him, to fulfill their responsibility in living for him. And our king has said that he will carry on with what his mother, the work that she had done. Again, pray to that end, folks. I've no doubt that there will be influences that will be seeking for things to go another way. Living in a very secular age, in a very, very liberal society, so easy to be pushed in order to enjoy the applause of some. May we all pray that as we consider here the legacy of a faithful monarch, David was a faithful monarch, we remember the legacy of our own queen, a good legacy, that we'll remember our responsibility to pray for kings and for those that are in authority.